Hi.
Hello, John Gilchrist. Soon to leave home. Minx. So, I'm going to ask you some questions.
Great.
Are you ready?
I think so.
Your first question is, aside from meeting me, John, which is a joke, what have you most enjoyed about working at home?
Wow. God, it's been such an unusual 4 years. Obviously punctuated by pandemic and all sorts of other things. I think, ultimately, home, it's the depth and breadth of the work. It's the fact there isn't another organisation in the country that I know of that has this sort of level of variety. It's the fact that there's an organisation that produces commissions and presents work across so many different art forms. It's that you never know what you're going to encounter. And it constantly tests different parts of the brains and you're encountering all these different challenges. And you're working with people who are constantly flexible and solving problems and dealing with everything that's out there. And, you know, that's a really inspiring thing. So, yeah, I think it's probably that. It's the range and the breadth of the work and the people you get to do that with.
Great. Do you have a favourite moment or memory from your time here?
I suppose there's so many. I think there's, pre-pandemic, there was a day a couple of years ago where we had Insane Animals on, and it was the awards night for the Manchester Open, and we had like full cinemas. It was the busiest time we'd ever had for cinemas. It was like when Parasite and various other things are, and we had a Q&A for Steve Coogan in the building that day, and it was absolutely rammed. The building was just full to brim of people, and it was like walking through those front of house areas and that cross-section intersectionality of different audiences, and you realise it's not what goes on in the individual rooms that's exciting about home. It's the social space in between where everyone coalesces. So it's when you've got that moment where you've got the audience for Insane Animals, you've got the audience for the cinemas and the galleries, and they've all experienced very different cultural experiences, but they can come together in one place. And usually, having come from like a theatre background, you obviously have those social spaces in your venue, but everyone's experienced the same thing. And there's something just incredibly special about that. And I think, you know, post-pandemic, from the moment that we closed, I think there was so many moments where I was just in awe of the team here and their response to the challenges and how we continue to offer something to the artists and the audiences of the city. It was incredible. And I think probably, you know, home ground was brilliant, and there was so much we learned from that, and so many brilliant experiences that people had. But I think there was a moment when we reopened and we had Mr. Wilson's playing in the in Tony Wilson Place, and people were coming back into the building, and we were, you know, reasonably pioneers in terms of that. And I think that was an incredibly satisfying moment that felt like we were achieving something against all odds. I think that was a really important moment too.
Good. What have you learnt working at home?
Wow. I think you're just constantly learning, aren't you? I think you learn spin plates. I think you learn to be able to move your head between different challenges reasonably quickly. I learned a lot about contemporary art. That wasn't my background at all, but I think I've had the opportunity to speak to some really interesting people, and I had the privilege of going to the Venice Biennale, which is sort of a bit like mainlining contemporary art into your veins. And I think that sort of opened my eyes to an entirely different world of artistic outlook, and I think that was really fascinating. I learned a lot more about film, spending time with Jason Wood and Rachel Hayward and Dave Mutry as well. I think taught me, you know, more about independent film, international film. And I think that's sparked the passion for me that probably wasn't there before working at home. And I think as well, I probably, most of all, I learned so much from Dave himself in terms of what the civic purpose of an arts venue is in a city like Manchester. And I think that he's extraordinary and he's very much one of a kind. And I think that that has given me so much sort of fire and spark to take through to the next job in terms of what a venue and what the purpose of arts and culture is to communities.
And what most excites you about Home's future? And I'm saying this as we look at the arches.
Yeah,
actually, well, in the room that we're in.
We do. I think the New Arts Council strategy, Let's Create, I think it very much fits into the outlook that Home is pushing for, that you know, both the trustees and the executive, you know, want to support. So I think that we're incredibly well placed into the next 10 years to actually do something incredibly exciting. I think this is probably a shit analogy, but I've always seen an arts organisation as a bit like a child. You know, in the first few years, you're sort of finding your feet, you're learning to speak, you're learning your place in the world. And, you know, we're now coming up to, you know, we're around 8. So, you know, we're not a proper child anymore. We're starting to develop a real consistent personality, which is something that'll stay with us. So then you sort of go through around 10, you go through a sort of weird preteen period, then sort of rebellious time. And by the time you get to about 18, you're reasonably fixed in your personality. You can go through middle age crisis. The analogy's lost anyway. But what I mean is that we're young enough in the gestation period of an organisation to change and to keep trying things out and finding things. That makes sense?
No, that does make sense. And I think it's an interesting analogy because I think we've got enough base knowledge to know what we can do and what we can't do. And the team's in place to do that. I think that's a great analogy. It's not a bad analogy at all.
But the thing is, you know, is the kid puts the hand in the fire for the first time and it's like, we've put our hands in fires. You know, we've run out into roads. You know, we've done all that stuff and we're learning. And I think that the next phase for us, yes, you know, to go back to the arches, I think it's buildings are great, but it's what goes on in the buildings that matters. They're effectively vessels for the audiences, artists, stakeholders, you know, workforce to deliver the thing that they need to do for the charity. And the reason why the Arches capital project development we're doing at the moment is important is because we have a bottleneck whereby the ambitions of the organisation are only limited by physical space. And by unlocking that space and developing those, we can achieve so much more. So it's especially talent development with the, you know, brilliant Jenny McCusker, who's been leading that for a number of years now. It's something where that ambition is only limited by space. It's like we can do more. And I think that that's the thing. It's not about pushing the organisation beyond its capabilities or stretching it too far. So I think that I'd be really excited about not just the development of those artists and the opportunity to have culture which better reflects the diversity of the city, but also the outcomes that I'll have in our gallery spaces, in our cinemas, in our theatres. And, you know, I'd love to see what happens in the next, you know, 5-10 years and how many of those artists go on to have an international reputation. And I think that's what I'm probably most excited about for Home and for Manchester.
Slightly left field question, which is, how have your Welsh language skills been useful at home?
Not at all. And my Welsh,
I find that hard to believe. I mean, it's an underserved audience.
My
John,
Welsh
is very unusual for you.
It's so bad. It's so bad. I remember, because I learnt it up to 14, and my mum has moved back to North Wales, and she's doing, like, you know, one of those sort of like apps where she's relearning Welsh. And yeah, I can remember very, very little of it. You know, I might as well be remembering Klingon, but you know, I
don't tell me you're fluent in Klingon.
I'm fluent in Klingon.
Yeah,
no, but it's such an important part of the culture of people in Wales, and I find the moment that I can, you know, watch some old episodes of Pobl y Cwm, I'll be like, I'm back into it now, and I actually find it easier to understand than I am to speak. I remember I was there was a like the Welsh equivalent of Grange Hill when I was a kid with this program called Rwnd a Rwnd, which was basically about a paper round in Wales. And I once played a background artist in that, and I was like, yeah, didn't have any clue what was going on. So the answer is very little, but I hope to be able to utilise my Welsh heritage and skill at some point in the future.
What, as a more than background artist, starring in some kind of Welsh language film?
Never say never.
Well, we'll tell Rachel to expect that coming along.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she won't be able to understand it, although she's fluent in French, but I'm certain it'll just be remarkable.
One-man show about,
about Welsh...
Child's history of Wales. Child's Christmas in Wales,
You can channel your inner Dylan Thomas.
Will do.
So, what will you miss about Manchester?
In all honesty, I'll be back here enough because, for football and because I've got so many brilliant friends here. And, I'll miss the city itself. I'll miss the various pubs of the Northern Quarter where I've spent disproportionate amount of time.
Writing your screenplay. Welsh language film.
I'll miss Temple Bar. I think Manchester is a city that I sort of get the people and I get how everything fits together, and I feel incredibly comfortable. I've lived in the city centre, I live in Chorlton now. Previously I lived just, outside in Bolton, and I feel I know how everything sort of fits together. I think the cultural landscape of Manchester is incredibly impressive. I think it's got more theatre seats than any English city outside London. It's got some incredible fringe spaces where you can see work of a intimidating high standard. It's got some brilliant galleries, and I think the cultural landscape is something that has achieved a lot, and I think there's more headroom. I think there's still more to go, and I think the intervention that Factory will have at the larger scale will be really exciting. But I think ultimately I'll miss everything about Manchester, but I'm equally excited to go and learn more about an entirely new city that I know less about, but in my experiences of being there at the moment, it's been amazing. So
I think Birmingham's a great city. I think it's a massive opportunity there, and I think you'll make a definite contribution. What will you miss about home?
Oh, what will I miss about home? I miss the people. I miss so many of the people. I've learned so much from everyone here. The marketing teams, the development teams, the artistic teams, the finance teams. It's just that everyone here has so much to offer and to give. And I think having sort of feel like we've lived through a very difficult time together. Of course, the boards as well. I can't forget the
obviously,
trustees
who have changed your life inordinately.
Changed my life inordinately. I think that's the thing. It feels that we have been on a journey together, and there's been bumps in the road. There's been massive achievements. There's been challenges. There's things we've done incredibly well. There's things that we could have done a lot better, and hopefully we'll learn from them and get better at them. And I think that's the thing. I'll miss being able to just. There's so much going on. I'll miss being able to just pop in and see a film, or go and see a show in T2. We'll go sit and have one of the excellent pizzas, or sit in the bar. I think there's a million things I'll miss. I just look forward now to being a visitor, being able to come in.
Yeah, and not be worrying about anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's not right.
Yeah,
oh, hang on.
Just like one of the taps won't stop running. It's like, it's not my problem anymore.
Yeah, but you have to go and tell someone.
Oh, I won't.
Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Okay. With energy prices the way they are at the moment, you will definitely. Utilities prices.
I promise you, as chair of the board, I will ensure that taps aren't running.
Thank you so much.
No problem.
Yeah, that's just one of your roles. Will you be putting a beehive on the roof at the Hippodrome?
Do you know what? I hadn't thought of that. But Do you know what would be really nice? If we can get a beehive there, which had its origins from, you know, maybe I could nick one of the queens. Is that how it works?
Oh, I think you'd probably get a custom-made beehive.
You
just
reckon?
Especially for you.
Maybe I'll just do a late night.
Maybe you'd have Peaky Blinders beehive. Maybe you could have beehives named after all of your productions.
I'm 90% sure that not everything in Birmingham needs to be matched to Peaky Blinders, but I'll check when I get there.
Cadbury chocolate? Bourneville beehive?
This is why they pay the big bucks, Catherine. Bourneville beehive.
You could get them to pay for it.
Do you know, actually, the thing about Bourneville is Bourneville is an entirely dry community.
Well, obviously, because it was started by Quakers.
Yeah, but you still can't get booze there.
Yeah, well,
they've made the commitment as a community. So we did look in Bourneville, but obviously.
But funnily enough, you decided not to live there, John. I find that surprising.
I don't know. I think it might be good for me.
Possibly.
So.
But not so good for the hospitality industry.
Yeah, maybe not.
Got to fulfil your commitment to them.
Just like how.
If you're leaving the pizzas behind here, you've got to do something else.
I've become a connoisseur of alcohol free beer now. I know all the best routes around it.
Yeah, he'll be doing a podcast on that. You know, that'll be the next part of his series: is beehives and beer with John Gilchrist.
God, the
wait for that.
No one wants to hear
on
that.
On Acast shortly. I'm just currently trying to get him a sponsor. do your new colleagues in Birmingham know what a massive City fan you are, or have you had to keep that quiet?
I've not really made a big deal of it yet.
I doubt if your football allegiance came up much during your interview.
Do you know what?
Or maybe that's the thing that we're missing during our interview processes.
It does feel in Manchester. It's something that's immediately discussed. It's like, you know, it's one of the first conversations you'll have. In Birmingham, it doesn't feel like it's raised as much. I think Birmingham's because it's interesting because obviously this summer it's the Commonwealth Games, which is going to be amazing. I think it's interesting for a city like Manchester where the Commonwealth Games was one of the catalysts for the sort of cultural revolution in the city. And a lot of the legacy from the Commonwealth Games is not just within sport, because obviously we've got the Velodrome, we've got the Etihad Stadium as it is now, and everything that was been built around Ancoats, but it's also what it did for culture. And I think that, I think there is a, sport is at the heart of it, but there is some brilliant complementary programme which has taken place as well, which is being run, and I think that will be really exciting for the city. Whereas I think that sport in Birmingham is like, cause obviously there's, you know, it's a big cricketing community as well. It's a really multicultural community. So
two football teams there as well.
Two football teams
and Aston Villa.
One in the Premier League, one not doing so well, but I'm sure we'll be back to it one day. I probably need to establish which of the two I have soft allegiance to. I'll probably end up going for Birmingham City just because it's...
You like the underdog, don't you?
Yeah. I just think that this is the chance to sort of grow above and beyond. But, you know, it's I think I will find at some point an opportunity to...
Well, just pretend you like cricket.
I do like cricket.
Well, there you are then. Just talk about cricket.
I was quite good at cricket. I was never really good at football, but I was all right at cricket.
Well, there you are then. You found your allegiance.
Terrible just at rugby, which being brought up in Wales was not a great thing.
You didn't have to be. Good at other things as well, singing. And anyway, you're already writing the script for your
Welsh language
film. You didn't have time to do rugby. Can't do both.
Well, I'm going to do this now, aren't I?
I mean, I know you're excellent at multitasking, but even you have to find your limit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, on behalf of the board, and I'm certain everybody at home, thank you for everything you've done. Ever since I've joined, you've been just a joy for me and such a friend. And I always knew I could ring up and go, what do I need to know about this? And you go, oh, it's just, honestly, you don't know, just these three things. And it's just been a joy. So thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been brilliant.
And this is really good because obviously no one can see that I'm just about to start crying. So that's even better. So thank you, John. If I think of any more questions, I'll add it to your podcast, Beehives and Beers, with John Gilchrist.
No one wants to listen to that.
I would.
Okay, we've got one listener. You
David
heard it here first.
Well, David, pretend. Anyway, thank you so much.
Thanks, Catherine. Bye.